Yes, amen. This tabernacle is really a wonderful design.
Amen.
It's God's design.
Yeah.
And in one hand, we need to go into the details and zoom in. Right? Like we zoom in here this morning from all over the world.
Yeah.
We need to zoom in into the design of God.
Amen.
And his purpose with us men.
Right.
And on the other hand, we also need to zoom out and to see the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Every detail and the whole tabernacle is so significant. And maybe we can show the slide where we see the top view. On Zoom. Yeah. Amen. So this morning we want to focus in on the holy place. Yeah, the holy place is a next stage, right? Mm-hmm. After you enter into the tabernacle through Christ, through this wonderful entrance, you then come to the burnt offering altar, the laver, and then you have the holy place.
Amen.
Right, there is a significant difference between the holy place and the outer court. And we do have a slide from the holy place as it looks from inside. Maybe we can show this slide. Right, here we go. Here the holy place coming in through the curtain from the outer court. This is what you will see. And the significant difference of the holy place versus the outer court is that you see here a lot of gold. Much of gold. You can't miss the gold here. The boards on the side, overlaid with gold. You have the golden lampstand. Not iron lampstand, not brass. It's a golden lampstand. You have the showbread table overlaid with gold. And the incense altar as well, you see, overlaid with gold. And the brothers will go into those items in the next meetings. But today we want to see how significant and how important it is for us to gain gold. Not to remain only in the outer court, where you have brass, bronze, you have silver, you have the fine linen, but you won't find gold in the outer court, right? So our growth in our walk with the Lord, our growth in our Christian life has to really go on from one stage to the next stage, right? Our Christian life should never become static. We should always get into deeper and fuller experience of our wonderful Lord. Right? And unfortunately, you have many Christians and the majority that when they enter in into the tabernacle from the outside into the entrance, they are satisfied. They are satisfied being saved, having eternal life, having the cleansing of the blood and the forgiveness, right? But we want to be those that draw near and come closer, to draw near to God. and to know this living God, right? In the outer court, yes, there are very, as we saw yesterday, very important items, right? The burnt offering altar and the laver. This too, as also was mentioned yesterday, we always need to apply the purification and the sanctification until the Lord comes back. Until he comes back, he needs to completely sanctify us. Body, soul, and spirit. Right? So we need these two items constantly. Daily, moment by moment, we need to purify it. Cleansed from all defilement. Right? Sin need to be dealt with. The death, Satan, was dealt with on the burnt altar. Right? Christ really bore the judgment, our judgment, on the burnt offering altar, on the cross. And this purification and sanctification, as long as we are in the flesh, we need to apply those. Right? But then, on the positive side, we need to see, for what are we cleansed? Why are we being sanctified? Right? You're not just cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and removing spot for just being clean. You're doing it for a purpose. Anyone who washes himself, hands and feet, it's for a purpose. And the purpose is to come forward, to enter in now into the holy place, into the service of the living God. Right? Now to be able to bear responsibility for the Lord and to minister unto him. Right? Amen. We really need to clearly see this. The purification is not just for yourself to now be pure, but now to be able to handle the heavenly things, right? To enter into the service of our living God. And for this, we need to have his nature, which is the gold, right? Gold is the divine nature of our living God. We need to gain his nature. All the negative things need to be washed away with, need to be dealt with, need to be purged out of our heart. The leaven, right? Everything negative is dealt with in the outer court. So that we now, in a positive way, can gain Christ. Amen. This is really wonderful. We come forward now to gain Christ. Right? It's really Paul's attitude, that I may gain Christ. I count all things loss and dung. And I want to gain Christ, right? It's really wonderful. Amen. Yes, the gold here in the holy place is something really that shows the nature of God. And all what God is gold. Right, in serving him, we need to focus on gold. Right, as the heavenly voice came when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, there was the voice, right, this is my beloved son, hear him. Serving him, we need to hear him. We need to have his word, right? And the word is gold. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have to have his speaking. How do you serve someone without having his speaking? Without knowing his commandments? Without knowing what he wants? And how do you know what he wants if not through his word? This word, like in Psalm 19, right, is mentioned. The law is perfect, the statutes, the commandments, and the judgments, they are more desired than gold. Amen. So this precious word is God himself, and it is this gold. So today, we not only read the word, but we come to the living word that is a speaking word. Right? This word is living. It is powerful. Everything what God is living. It is real. It is full of himself. And so when we come to this word, we come to the living God himself. Praise the Lord. That's why we desire more and more from it. Right? We should never get tired from reading the word, because you come to him. Right? And he is so precious. Right? In Psalm 119, it's mentioned, I love your commandments. Yeah. Amen. If you love his commandments, you love himself. Amen. And you're going to desire to gain more of this gold. Amen. Right. And then in Colossians, we see that now this word should dwell richly in us. It should not be just outside of us and what we read, but it comes into us. And in a rich way, not just a little bit. In the holy place, there is a lot of gold. Right? And the word should dwell in us richly. Amen. Don't be just satisfied day after day, week after week, to just read a little bit, know a little bit, have him touched a little bit. But now we want to really be richer and richer, be filled with him. Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. Wisdom is gold. Wisdom is of God. In serving him, one thing we really need to exercise is to put aside our own wisdom. Not to build according to our understanding, but to gain him and his wisdom. This plan of the tabernacle is really God's design and was designed from him. It is from God. Who would have, from us, would have such a wisdom, right? To come up with such a layout and with all these details, right? It is really his wisdom. May we never trust ourselves in serving him, but trust him, the living word, and his wisdom. Amen. And we do it and we serve in faith. We have obtained like precious faith. A faith that is gold, that is living. Right? It is encouraging you to go on, not to live and walk by sight, but by faith. And without faith, as Hebrews says, you cannot please him. Whenever we come forward to God, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder, right, for those that diligently seek him. Where is our heart today? Right? Where are we today? Are we seeking him? And not only a little bit, but now diligently. Amen, Lord Jesus. Diligently seek him. Yeah, we have all these verses here written, and we will all hand them also out to you for later for your references. Amen. And the faith, right, also as we go on, need to be tested. Difficulties may arrive. Things are being challenged. So the goal need to be refined. And every test is an opportunity to go through this refinement process and to get out of it to pure gold. So that our genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, so it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, gaining Christ is really gaining God's nature, gaining this gold. Because this Christ is the image of the invisible God. He displayed God himself. No one has seen God, but this wonderful Christ has expressed him, has lived with the Father. When you saw Jesus, you saw the Father, because the Father was in him and he in the Father. So those two were one, right? So today, when we see us and we go on in the church life, we need to ask, what do others, or what do we see? Right? Do we see Christ? Right? In your gathering, in your locality, do we see more and more Christ? More and more of this gold? More and more of this invisible God manifested now in you and me? Amen. Yes, this is really our holy service now in the holy place. Right? To serve according to his word, according to his wisdom, and by the living faith that we all have received, young and old. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. And now let us read a few verses in Ephesians chapter 3. Maybe I'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, and starting in verse 16, that he would grant you, I read it to you, and you can follow, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Right, to be strengthened with might. To gain this gold, we need to be strengthened. In the church life, we need to be strong in spirit. Strengthened with his might, through the Spirit in the inner man. Right? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ wants to make home in everyone's heart. He wants to arrange himself in your heart, in your soul. Right? And I'm sure when he enters first time into our soul, there are many things that need to be removed and where he needs to be added. Right? So this is now the cooperation we need to have with him, that Christ may dwell in your heart, Kyle. Right? And for this, we need to be strengthened with his might through faith in the inner man, so that this Christ may really occupy more and more of our heart. Through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Praise the Lord for all the saints. You cannot comprehend by yourself all what Christ is. Right? We need one another. We need all the saints. Every member of his body is important. Right? Every saint is so important to express Christ. Amen. Able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, depth, and height. And that's what we are aspiring today and practicing today and are being exercised today, to comprehend with one another all of Christ's dimensions. Amen. Praise the Lord for such a reality today. And it requires strength and diligence, right, to really go on and press on to gain this wonderful Christ together. Amen. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Filled with all the fullness of God. And we, as we also heard yesterday, in the matter of the labor, as we need to find out and know our true condition in terms of the negative aspects of spots and wrinkles and blemishes and defilements in us, we also need to have a measure and see how much of guise of Christ have we gained. The positive aspect, right? How much of Christ have we gained? And as we came here to Fountain Valley, the saints were reading in 1 John chapter 2, or were in the book of 1 John, Epistle of John. And one verse really exposed me, where Apostle of John writes and asks, how do we know that you know him? We should ask this question. How do you know that you know him? And it is an exposure here, right? This is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. My answer of knowing him, if I would ask me, hey, do you know him? Well, immediately I would come, I do know him, at least a little bit. Right? Being saved, being baptized, having the word, right? Having the spirit, being born again. Of course I know him. Why are you asking me? This is really exposing, right? You know him if you keep his commandments. And it's not only that I was wrong with my answer. It says, you're a liar. The truth is not in him. If you say you know him, but you don't do what he wants, right? Lord, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. We want to go on to perfection, right? Don't fall into that trap to say you know him. Because now, you know, by saying you know him, you're going to stop pursuing him. Because you say, that's it, it's enough, it's sufficient, the church life is fine. You're doing okay. A good meeting, what does good mean? Right? If we keep his commandments, then we truly know him. And so in this, we want to be perfected today. Gain more of Christ. Gain more of this divine nature. Gain more of God and gold. Right? Because there was Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 who said, I am rich. Not only that, he said, I don't need anything anymore. Right? There was such a case and such a church. Right? And we cannot say, oh, it's not going to happen to us. Right? I am rich. I don't need nothing. Oh, Lord. And I have need of nothing. Right. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. But you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. God counseled this kind of attitude and said, go, come to me, buy from me gold refined in fire. Yeah, I'm really thankful that these words and the Lord always measures us as we go on with him, right? So that we can repent, that we can turn, that he's correcting us through his words, right? And encouraging us to go on to perfection, to gain more of this gold. Amen. Praise the Lord for this tabernacle, this pattern, and the holy place that we now are able to partake of his divine nature and to serve this living God. It is a privilege that we have time today to gain more of his riches. We need to be thankful to his mercy, right? That he has granted us time, right? Still to gain more of his glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
What our brother has shared is simple, but the truth and the reality. You know, when I take a look at this bird's eye view of the tabernacle shown this morning, I realize, my goodness, the house of God is so simple. If you come to my house or I go to your house, it is so complicated. My goodness, you have so many furnitures, right? I don't know, maybe your house is so simple, But I don't think your house is that simple. You come into my house, I feel my house is so complicated. But the house of the living God is so simple. In the outer court, you only have two things. You have the burnt offering altar, and you have the laver. You don't see many other things there. And if you enter into the holy place, what do you see there? How many things do you see there? You see three furnitures. And they are not even gigantic. You have a table. And not a table for 20 people, but there's a simple table there. Enough for 12 loaves of bread, two stacks. Then you have the golden lampstand, and then you have a small golden incense altar. And nothing else. Except you see much gold in there. It isn't material. It is not so many things. You know, I thought in many of the churches, we are so complicated. We need this, we do this, we do that. We have so many activities. We are so complicated. But in the house of the living God, especially if you enter into the sanctuary, what do you want to see there? In Psalm 27, we just talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it here or with the Philippines, or I forgot. I don't know where we fellowshipped about it. Oh, I think here in Fountain Valley. Right. The psalmist says, one thing I have desired, it is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, all the days. Right. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, in the outer court, you cannot behold the beauty of the Lord. My brother was right, saying that many of the believers today, they say, yeah, we're in the church, we're in the house of God, but they stayed mostly in the outer court. And in the outer court, you have a lot of activities there, very busy, slaying, all the offerings, cooking, washing, preparing, and everybody, so many people gather there. Just like in the feast, you're very busy. You're very busy there. Right. But when you enter into the sanctuary, you're not very busy there. The psalmist says, I would desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, a meaning to say definitely in the sanctuary. Because he said to behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, in the holy place, you not just see the gold, but you see the cherubim. If you looked up, you see the cherubim in the ceiling, in the covering. And when you look forward, you see the cherubim, right, in the veil, the glory. It's called the cherubim of glory. The glory of the Lord. And if you look around, everything is gold. Everything is gold. What do you want to see in the church life today? You like to listen to a good message? Right? We have a lot of activities. We have a lot of singings. We have a lot of so-called fellowship. We do so many things together, and but there in the holy place, What do you want to see? The beauty of the Lord. And the beauty of the Lord is the glory of the Lord. Right? There are quite a few verses in the Psalms, Psalm 23, verse 6. Right? It says here, right, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What do you do there? Right. What do you want to do there? It says in Zion, there's the perfection of beauty. The perfection of beauty. God will shine forth. God is shining forth in Zion. Right. The perfection of beauty. What kind of beauty do you see in the church life? In the former years, when I look back, I don't know what we were looking for in the church life. Right. So it says here in Psalm 63, so I have looked for you. I looked for you in the sanctuary. When we come into the house of the Lord, who are we looking for? Right. We're looking forward to see God, the living God, to see your power and your glory, to see the power and the glory of the Lord. And in Psalm 90, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Right? The beauty of the Lord. So to see the beauty of the Lord, what are we seeking for? What are we looking for? In the earlier years of my Christian life, when I was much younger, I crave and desire for knowledge. I thought knowledge of the Bible is wonderful, is very good. I want to know the Word of God. But today, and starting a few years ago, the Lord turned my heart. I desire to know Him in person. I desire to know the reality of this wonderful Christ, this wonderful person. Right. He is so precious. He's the only precious one, because I realized knowing the Bible so much, but when I looked at my living and my life and the reality, the substance, what do I have? I have some knowledge, but the past has helped us to realize that in the house of the Lord, what we want to desire to see is the beauty of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. The person of the Lord. We want to gain Him. We want to gain Christ. Like our brother shared in Philippians, I want to know Him. Right. I used to ask myself, well, Paul already knew the Lord. What does he want? I want to know Him. But then he said, I want to gain Him. And then I want to live Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. This is gold. This is the reality. Everybody knows the Lord is risen from the dead, but then we are still dead. The dead people knowing that Christ is risen from the dead. Well, but I remain dead. I remain dead. But now here is a person who desire to know the power of that resurrection, because we realize that we still have so much death ruling over us. How am I going to get rid of this death? Paul realized the power of the power of death working in him, right? That's why he is wretched. Who is going to save me from the body of this death? It's not a doctrine that's going to make us alive, no, but it is the power of resurrection to swallow up the death that is in me. And the fellowship of his sufferings. We know that Christ suffered for us, but then we are not willing to suffer for one another. Right. We are not willing to lay down our soul life for the brothers. We like to cut off the brothers, right? Well, the Lord, because of his love, laid down his life for us. No greater love is there than that. But then it continued to say that we should also, therefore, lay down our soul life, our life for the brethren. The second part, we don't have, but I know the first part. I know he laid down his life for me, but that's wonderful, but I'm not willing to lay down my life for you. And only if we touch that reality will we also be willing to lay down our life. All the apostles at the very end, they pour out their life as a drink offering. Right? But today in the church life, if no one is willing to pour out like the Lord Jesus, pouring out his life for us, then there is no building. We know a lot of doctrines, but well, I've seen it in the church life. Right. The Lord gains so many in the church life, and then when they come into the church life, we lost them all. They're all gone. So to gain this Christ is to gain the real gold. Our brother was right sharing this. Don't ask how much you know the Bible, but ask how much we have gained the precious gold, which is God himself, in the Word, be it in the Word, be it by faith. Right. To gain this wonderful gold. And there, the beauty of the house of the Lord is expressed in that holy place with a substance of gold and the embroidered, wonderful cherubim of glory. You can really see this, sir. And it should be there. It should be there. Otherwise, when people come in, sometimes I should wonder, what are we going to do with them? Okay, let's try to fellowship and convince them with the Bible and with the truth, with the Word. Okay, they may agree or disagree, but even if they agree, after they say goodbye to us, they won't come back. But if they see the gold and they see the glory of the Lord and they see the manifestation of God, his light shining out. If I were an unbeliever and I went into such a place, goodness, I'm going to come back again. Yeah, I want more of that. So this is what we desire. That's number one, right? To behold the beauty of the Lord. And then the psalmist continue to say, and to inquire in his temple, meaning to say, I want to hear him speaking to me. God is living and his speaking is so precious. He must speak to me. If I inquire something, that means I want to know. I want him to speak to me. That golden incense altar is not just we speaking and praying to God.
Denn der Räucheraltar ist nicht nur, dass wir zu Gott sprechen, sondern
is him
das viel Kostbarere ist, dass er zu.
We speak a lot to him, but I wonder how much he spoke to us. Well, maybe each one of us should ask this question. Is he listening more to me or am I listening more to him? Who is speaking more?
Qui parle plus?
When I have a conversation with you, then it's not good if it's a one-way conversation. So when we are speaking to God, who do you think should speak more? Jonas, you speak more to him or he spoke more to you? We have long prayers. We like to make long prayers, I know. And I've been telling many saints, make your prayer short. But the more I say, make your prayer short, it seems the longer it gets. We speak so much, but God speaks so little to us because we don't give him a chance to speak, right? You remember Peter spoke in the house of Cornelius. His message was so long, and the Holy Spirit couldn't wait anymore until he finished speaking. So the Holy Spirit poured down on the house of Cornelius, even before Peter finished his message. Sometimes I thought when we speak, not only the saints go to sleep, but we put God to sleep also. God will be sitting on the throne and listening to John So speaking, and he will be. I put him to sleep. That is our problem. When we come to the golden incense altar, our desire is to, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear your speaking. Right. Anyway, I shouldn't be speaking too long. Now, praise the Lord. How about let's have a pause? John?